to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Breach joining us right now. Talks of NFL football with the writer for CBS Sports. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's always good to talk to another John or Dying
Breach. That's right. Fantastic. But you also got Adele.
Well,
so that's
John, I'll tell you, this John ain't that great. So we'll try to get you to this interview.
You've written a couple stories about Colin Kaepernick. Does he get back in the league?
You know what? I feel like he does. It seems like the big impediment was just him getting in there, having a team invite him in for a workout. It was just like no one wanted to be the first one. And I do think that the Raiders might have just opened the floodgates here. Because you look at what happened this entire offseason. He's been kind of on this national workout tour. We saw him working out with Tyler Lockett back in March. And Tyler Lockett's out there saying, hey, look, this guy has a rocket arm. He looks fantastic. He worked out with a few NFL quarterbacks. One of them was Justin Fields. Justin Fields is saying, yeah, this guy could definitely play in the NFL. And now here we are. He's finally getting that NFL workout. And by all accounts, it went well. So I think that we'll see if the Raiders don't do something, and who knows, because they have a pretty full quarterback room right now. But it wouldn't be surprising if he gets another workout now. And the fact that he's willing to be a backup quarterback and has gone on record saying that hey, if that's what I have to do this year to get back in the league, I think that gives him a much better chance. So if you had asked me this, you know, last week, it would have been 0.01%. Now I feel like it's about 75% that he plays this year.
75%. And the Raiders are showing interest. You said, you're saying there are other teams that are looking at him.
Right, absolutely. But I think the Raiders obviously the front runner because, you know, the number one thing is you have to have an owner that is on board with this. And, you know, we've seen a lot of owners ask about Kaepernick over the past few years, and they either duck the question or they don't want to divide their fan base. Well, Mark Davis doesn't care about it. Mark Davis is going to do whatever Mark Davis wants, and he has been pretty vocal that Colin Kaepernick deserves another chance in the league. So I would say the Raiders, obviously, the front runner, they are the ones willing to bring him in. But if it's not them, I do think at least a few other teams, I think we would see him get a workout with one or two more teams before the season starts.
John Breach with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, I've been saying, and maybe you can think I'm crazy, I think the Raiders win the AFC West this year.
I think you're crazy.
Okay.
You know what? It is, though. I think the Raiders are being kind of slept on, though. I will absolutely say that because, look, this is a team that went to the playoffs last season, and no one thought they were going to do that. Everyone had them pegged for last place in 2021, and then boom, there they were as the wild card team. So there's no reason they can't get back to the playoffs. If you had just said, hey, can this team make the playoffs? I'm completely on board with that. They won 10 games. They added Devontae Adams. The roster's much better, but obviously every other team in that division is, I mean, it feels like the only team that didn't improve a lot is the Chiefs. They're arguably the only team that got worse. But when you add Russell Wilson to the Broncos, it feels like they're double-digit wins. The Chargers had so many close losses last year and still won 9 games. It feels like they're double-digit wins. And I know mathematically that every single one of those AFC West teams can make the playoffs, but obviously someone's going to have to be the odd man out. And I do agree that the Raiders are kind of a dark horse. I can see them as absolutely the wild card team.
John, you wrote what would be, you know, a very normal football story. Deshaun Watson wanted his number, so he gave the teammate with the number a gift. How many weeks into the season do you think there will actually be a normal football story about Deshaun? In other words, if you had to guess, with Roger Goodell coming out and saying they're near the end of the investigation, we have the Real Sports thing where Brian Gumbel and the accusers were on, giving their side of the story. Are we talking 8 weeks, 10 weeks before Deshaun Watson plays a football game? If you had to guess, without much precedent, what do you think happens?
Yeah, this is like the hardest thing to get a sense of. I think this is the question everyone's been trying to peg down, is how long is Deshaun Watson going to be suspended? I just think that Roger Goodell and the NFL does not want to deal with the blowback that might come. If this suspension is 4 games or less, I think there would be an absolute uproar. The NFL will kind of have a black eye there. We all saw what happened with Trevor Bauer in Major League Baseball. Not that that's the exact same situation, but it's the same in the sense that he wasn't criminally charged with anything, but MLB still dropped the hammer. And we've also seen Roger Goodell do that with Ezekiel Elliott, Ben Roethlisberger back in 2010, where they weren't criminally charged, but they were given a suspension. So I do think that it's just, when you have 22 different women saying the same thing, that, you know, if you believe five of them, that's still five. So the number's just so incredibly high. I will be stunned if the suspension's not at least 8 games.
See, we're talking with John Breach, who writes for CBS Sports NFL. You have ranked the defenses heading into this season. You got the Bills first, and yet the last thing we saw from the Bills defense was them not being able to stop the Chiefs in 10 seconds. Listen, everybody's got the Bills at the top of the, how much pressure is on the Bills this year, offensively and defensively, for this football team?
I think we might have lost them.
We lost him?
I mean, it says he's still on, but obviously we can't hear him, so maybe there's an issue. We'll see. We'll see if we can get John back for the back half of the interview. See, I told you, getting two Johns together, what a terrible combination. Mostly that's because you're here.
It has nothing to do with the name John.
Well,
John's phone is apparently he's using, maybe not, he doesn't have an Apple.
You think he's on an Android and that's the issue?
Poor.
He's one maybe of the poors.
He's one of the poor. You're poor. He's got the Bills, the Rams, the Saints, Ravens. He's got the Cowboys as the fifth defense. Where's the Texans in this list?
Does he get past five? Maybe there's six.
No, the Broncos, Colts, Patriots, Steelers, and Buccaneers.
Looks like
this list has no credibility without the
Texans. You can ask him about it because he's back. You can ask him why the Texans aren't on the list.
All right. Why are the Texans not on your best defenses list, John?
Well, the Texans aren't bad. It's just that you look at who Okay. I like to defend the home team. I was going to say they're not the worst, the absolute worst.
No, well, they're right there. They're right there, John. What about the Bills being number one?
The Bills defense is just loaded. I mean, you just look at what they have. We saw what they did last year. They had the best defense in the NFL in 2020, whether you want to look at it by points surrendered, by yards given up. I mean, on paper, it felt like they had the best defense last season, and then they go and add someone like Von Miller. And then let's not forget they're getting Tre'Davious White back. He missed the last back half of the season and the playoffs to a torn ACL. So they're going to have two better players on their defense going into 2022. That defense went from great to whatever is above great. So it feels like they should be the best defense in the NFL for the second straight year.
John, do you have an opinion about a team that's completely opposite of most of the people you talk to who do the same thing? Like, is there a team out there you're like, I don't think they're going to be that good, or a team that you see as being clearly overvalued, I guess, outside of the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say the team that I kind of want to say the Browns, but I feel like that's not a fair answer because we don't know what Deshaun Watson suspension is going to be. The Arizona Cardinals, to me, I feel like are being really overvalued this year. I know that everyone is on board. We saw what they did last season. They went 11-6, but they fade down the stretch every year, and we've seen what they can't do when DeAndre Hopkins is out. I mean, last season, the offense completely fell apart when DeAndre got injured. Now he's going to missed the first six games of the season. And that just feels like a team that is the third best in the NFC West at best. And if you're third best, you know, there's no guarantee you're getting the playoffs. So I know the Cardinals get a lot of preseason hype. Hey, they're going to be the in-season hard knocks team. But if I had to pick a team from the playoffs in the NFC last year, it's not going to be there this year. The Cardinals would probably be at the top of that list.
You got the Steelers up there as one of your top 10 defense. They were last in the league against the rush. Why are they going to be so much better this year against the rush?
Look, the Steelers been dealing with a lot of things. I think one of the problems for Pittsburgh was that they didn't get a lot of help from their offense. So the offense went three and out a lot. The defense had a lot on its plate, and that's something that is tough for a defense to deal with. But, hey, look, we'll see. It is You look at their schedule, you look how things break down, and they're in a tough division as far as running backs go. You have Joe Mixon, you have Nick Chubb, but it feels like the Steelers' defense should probably improve. It's just one of those things where I don't think they can do worse than they did last season. You know, a lot of people talk about regression, where I think this is the opposite of that. I think they have to get better.
You see Kenny Pickett starting there?
What's that?
Do you see Kenny Pickett starting there?
You know, Kenny Pickett is interesting. I think that the fact they gave Mitchell Trubisky a 2-year deal, I think that Mitchell Trubisky goes into week one as a starter, and if he flops or if they struggle through the first month of the season, then boom, you give the job to Kenny Pickett. So I do think there's a very good chance he ends up starting there at some point during the 2022 season, but if I had to bet on it right now, I would think that Trubisky's the week one starter.
You've got Sky Moore as your top rookie candidate for rookie of the year. Does he take Hill's place as far as that speedster that can break open games?
That is a great question. I'm not sure that anyone can take Tyreek Hill's place. That's just, you know, he's one of the fastest guys in the league. He had that chemistry with Patrick Mahomes, which is going to be tough for Sky Moore to build up in year one. But you look at all the other weapons, whether it's Travis Kelce, whether it's Juju Smith-Schuster, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So you're going to have, I think Sky Moore's going to have an opportunity where he's a guy who's going to be teams aren't going to be paying very much attention to him. And I feel like that somebody has to make up the ground that Hill's leaving with. So that yardage has to go somewhere. I think he's a good candidate, and it feels like he should put up big numbers if you look at all the receivers who were taken in the first two rounds this year.
But he's a cornerback. He's wearing number 24. He's a corner. So that's going to be weird. That is going to be weird watching him out wide wearing number 24. But get used to it, everybody. It's John Breach, CBS Sports, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for your insight.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, John Breach right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.